Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said the federal government is not going to bail out Silicon Valley Bank, but told CBS News the government is working to help depositors who are worried about their money in the failed bank. The concerns for people with more than the federally insured $250,000 in the bank. Senate Banking Committee member Mark Warner told ABC's This Week the ideal scenario is for a buyer for the bank to emerge before markets open in Asia later today, but overall,
do you end up seeing a lot of small and mid-sized banks, which are the heart of the banking system all across the country, people suddenly saying, well, gosh, I've got more than $250,000 in this bank. I want to take my money out and just put it in a J.P. Morgan or a Citibank. What we don't want to see is further consolidation.
More than 15 million people are under flood alerts in California and Nevada. Heavy flooding in Monterey County, California, after a levee breached, and at least 8 people died overnight in San Diego when 2 fishing boats trying to dock illegally capsized. This is ABC News. A source confirms to ABC News the Biden administration intends to approve an $8 billion plan for a new oil drilling project in Alaska. ABC's Ike Ajachi has details from Washington.
The Bureau of Land Management claims the Willow project is expected to pump out 600 million barrels of crude oil over a 30-year period and could generate between $8 and $17 billion in new revenue for the federal government and for the state of Alaska. Experts also say the Willow project could create as many as 2,500 jobs.
Environmentalists are opposed to the plan. The oil business was lucrative for Saudi Aramco. The Saudi Arabian state-owned oil company reported record profits last year of $161 billion and made that announcement on Sunday. It's been another weekend of protests in Israel over proposed changes to the country's judiciary that would strip the Supreme Court of some of its powers. More than 300,000 demonstrators were out in cities across the country saying these planned changes erode democracy. Brian Clark, ABC News.
They say the happiest cows come from Wisconsin.
You're really milking that.
We say some of the best radio does, too.
This is Extra Sharp Weekends on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Families put in a lot of unpaid hours helping loved ones without any pay. The economic value of unpaid family caregiving in Wisconsin recently went up by more than $2 billion. More from Mike Mohn.
AARP Wisconsin says the state's more than 500,000 family caregivers provided an estimated 540 million hours of unpaid care in 2021, worth roughly $9 billion. That compares to 490 million hours, worth just under $7 billion, in the group's 2019 report. AARP Wisconsin State Director Martha Cranley says placing a price tag on this care is important because of the financial pressure these folks often encounter.
We know about 3/4 of people who are family caregivers are actually also in the workforce. So they're either cutting back on their hours or they're taking unpaid time. So that generally puts people in more of a financial risk.
She adds they're out-of-pocket expenses too. The group is renewing calls for policy actions, including a special tax credit for unpaid family caregivers and expanding the scope of paid leave opportunities. Democratic Governor Tony Evers has those ideas in his proposed budget, but Republicans who control the legislature haven't been too receptive to the spending plan. To the public, Cranley says it might be expected that a person would provide care to an aging family member without asking for much in return. But she says with these numbers trending higher, there are concerns that more individuals could end up in nursing homes or have extended hospital stays.
So imagine that all of those folks had to go into a healthcare system that's already really struggling.
Local specialists can guide caregivers on how to access training, financial planning, and respite services, along with other resources. Mike Mohn, Wisconsin News Connection.
And you're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
The Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing, advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations.
Ah, the Ides of March, the day that Caesar was killed, and it's the final day for you to make a killer deal.
March 15th.
That's right, March 15th is your last day to take advantage of our biggest sale. We're slashing prices on our premium sponsorships up to 50%.
Tie your business message and phone number into our hourly weather forecasts and get results.
But you must hurry.
This spectacular offer ends March 15th. Log on to civicmedia.us/weather now. That's civicmedia.us/weather.
Cardinal put out these weird, sad videos interviewing incapacitated elders in their nursing homes that don't have the ability to say, don't use me as your political prop.
If they are what you say they are, then you shouldn't be doing it how you did it.
Yes, it was the kids using the parents as props. Well, my old man hasn't talked since 76. Of course he would have voted for Trump. That's the evidence. Videos. People that can't talk.
It is wrong. So it's absolutely wrong.
Check out the entire podcast library at darnwi.com.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Picked the place up for 1500 bucks.
What is up, Wisco? Joel Clayfish here alongside Danielle Fairman. You're listening to Raised in Wisco with Joel and Danielle on 540 AM WAUK 101 FM, The Shaw. We're coming to you live from the Fishbowl in downtown Waukesha. And I got to tell you, we have State Senator Rob Stafsholt in the Fishbowl with us this evening. Welcome, Senator.
Thanks for having me. Glad
welcome,
to be here.
Welcome.
You know, I have to make the point, I knew him way before he was a senator and even way before he was a representative.
We go way back, too.
You go back to yesterday,
last week. Right? Thank you very much.
Bologna sausage on that one. But, you know, we had a couple minutes to kill. We had, it's snowing. We got a blizzard in Wisconsin, which is like an every other weekly thing here in the winter. And we had a little bit of extra time. We stopped over at Eric's Porterhouse. I want to give a shout out to Josh over there. Oh, just had awesome. Time. It was awesome.
Yeah. I've always wanted to go, but like, this is the only reason why I come to
Okay, Danielle, you barely show up on time, so you'd have to actually be early enough to go.
Well, tell me there's food, and I'm there.
Then you're there. All right. Well, we'll have to get the senator to come back to the station one of these times early. Want to give a shout out and a big hello to the Kennedy clan out in Oconomowoc, our four loyal listeners. Appreciate that. And really want to welcome here on Raised in Wisco, Anastasia, our new producer. She's going to be the nighttime producer at WAEK. Anastasia, how you doing?
I'm good, Joel. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I asked her earlier, I said, are you a hunter? And she said, I'm not a hunter, but I grew up in a family that hunted. Mm-hmm. In fact, she said, we had two freezers, one for food and one for deer. And I said, well, deer is food, I guess, isn't it? So she's not unfamiliar with it. But Anastasia, we're really happy to have you. And I think we're going to have fun. And we appreciate you in your new job. Congratulations also.
Thank you so much.
All right. I want to kind of dive into things right away. You know, last time we were on the air, we had Senator Stafsholt and Dan Trawicki, who does a great job. And I'm super excited to tell you that if you listen to the show on Saturdays, they do the rebroadcast of our show on Saturday mornings at 11 o'clock, Raised in Wisco, and then followed by the Cripes Cast by with Charlie Behrens, and then the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown, right after that. I mean, I am very excited with where Civic Media is going. This is exciting stuff.
And that we can share it now publicly
is
so exciting.
Very Such clearly, Danielle, you and I in Raised in Wisco is bigger than Charlie Behrens' show, but we are leading into it. So,
duh.
Why, Senator, why are you laughing at that?
Hurtful.
It's all about spin.
It's all about spin in this business. We're very fortunate to have the senator with us right now because this is an integral time in the state of Wisconsin, in politics, in the legislature, because the governor's budget just came out. And for those of you who are, you know, not necessarily with familiar with how it goes, the governor proposes the budget for the next 2 years. And then that governor's budget is scrutinized by the legislature. And then the legislature makes its changes that they foresee. And then it goes back to the governor. In the state of Wisconsin, the line item veto pen of the governor is the most powerful in the country. What that means is our governor can literally X out words to make new sentences. So it's this creative chess match between entities. But no matter what, there's always kind of a give and take between opposing philosophical views, because you kind of want to give the other side a little something once in a while so that they don't come back and take away everything. Something from you. So you guys are kind of in the middle of that right now. So what's the mood in Madison? Are we trying to get along a little bit? Are we fighting all the time? What mood are we seeing in Madison?
You know,
right
it's
now?
Early, and as you explained, the first step is the governor comes up with his proposal, and I think a lot of people, especially sportsmen that maybe don't eat, sleep, and breathe politics, think that whatever he comes out with, that's what the new budget is, and away we go. People should understand that the governor comes out with his proposals, which are his ideas, kind of his wish list. And then the legislature goes back through and takes some things out and redoes parts of it and tries to put something together that we can all live with. So to answer your question right now, he came out with his proposal. The legislature is busy putting things together and trying to come up with ideas on what's important to some folks, what's priorities for the residents of Wisconsin. And we'll come up with ours sometime here in the next month or so. We'll come up with ours, maybe a little bit later than that. And then the getting along might get a little bit thinner after that. But as of right now, everybody's still smiling and waving at each other and hollering, good to see you. You know, that's still going on in the hallway. So as for right now, it's going pretty well.
I think sometimes people misunderstand human nature. Even if you disagree with somebody philosophically, human nature is to get along more than it is to disagree.
Sure.
You know, and any hunter who's been in the field or on public waterways or in public woods has had those confrontations. I'd say 9 times out of 10, they end fairly amicably. And then there's the time that the tempers get lost and the warden ends up on the scene. But politics is a lot like that. I think both sides are trying their best to do what they believe is best for the citizens of the state of Wisconsin.
Right. And the other thing I'll add to your story about the 9 times out of 10, a sportsman has something in the field where they run into other folks or whatever. The one time that it doesn't go smoothly is the one time you hear about all the time.
Yes,
you don't hear about
no
the
doubt.
9 times that actually went pretty well. And, you know, if everybody got 80% of what they wanted, that's kind of the way it went down. It's uneventful. So that doesn't make for a great story. Out in the sports world or in politics. So it's the one time that there's a big clash and the big boom. That's what you hear the most about, unfortunately.
I think you just hit on a big point there, and that is the rotten barrel, the rotten apple spoils the bunch theory, and I think that is true. In the Capitol right now, one of the things that is, frankly, I'm going to get kind of gritty about this, it's really irritated me that among sportsmen and women, and maybe it's going to improve now that there are more and more women getting into hunting. You know, the fastest, I say it all the time, the fastest growing group new hunters is women 18 to 35. And they are going to come. And if you are sexist and you don't want it to happen, well, then just get out of the way, because it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And women are going to become a stronger and stronger, more powerful force in hunting and fishing and the outdoors. And frankly, it's an awesome and very welcome, faction of hunting. But what ticks me off, just grinds me, makes me absolutely crazy, is that sportsmen and women don't participate in the political process. By numbers, we care so much about protecting our rights to hunt and fish and our ability to do it the way we see fit and not have be overlorded by the DNR. And we don't participate. Our group does not participate. Participates in the political process, and I'm not just talking about voting, in the political process substantially less than the average citizen and other groups.
Yep, yeah, I am definitely one of those people, unfortunately. I'm so sorry, guys. I said it last week, too, and I'm again sorry. But
why?
I don't, when I think politics, I don't think of the outdoors at all whatsoever. Right. I think of city problems and city issues. I don't think of
DC.
What's going on in my backyard. Like, not one, like, not a lick of it. I don't know. I don't know why I don't. I don't know why it's portrayed that way. But I just feel like the politics, Madison, has nothing to do with the outdoors.
I think Danielle's a great example of what we run into, because I think, and we hit on this just a little bit last week, or last time I was on, and it just flew, but she's a great example of somebody who cares very much about the outdoors, cares about her passions or her rights when it comes to the outdoors, hunting, fishing, trapping. And I think as a demographic, that group would rather be outside in the forest alone in pure serenity than go have an uncomfortable conversation, excuse me, with somebody about how state policy affects their right to do what it is that they love. I think it's their nature. Those of us that like the outdoors, we like the peace and quiet. And I'm one of those people too. I'd much rather be out in the backside of an 80 in a deer stand all alone than to be in the Capitol. But I've come around to the point, like you said, I started the same place you did. And you come around to the point where you understand how absolutely important that is. And there's some things going on in our state and in our country right now that will have a huge impact on our sport going forward.
Okay. And unfortunately, I feel like if I go there, in my head, this is what's happening. Like it's like a courtroom, I guess, in my head. Everyone's sitting up front that has to make a vote and gets
have
to say.
Have you been in a courtroom?
No, never. Okay. Judge Judy. Thank you very much. Like, I picture everyone up front talking back and forth, doing everything you need to do. And then here I am behind in the pews, pew, pew. And am I sitting there for 3 hours, 4 hours, waiting for somebody to talk about, like, the outdoors? And do I stand up? Do I say, I disagree? Like, do I have a paddle? Like, what? Like, what?
Well,
how
okay.
do I know, like, when I let's, go that I'm actually
you know
going to have a voice?
Since you brought that up, let's talk about participating in a hearing. Let's talk about that.
Because, like, is it an actual hearing?
I think it goes along with, you know, how you hear one of the biggest fears that people have is public speaking.
Oh, 100%.
And I think that that is completely true, and I think that that is also part of the what affects the political process. Let's talk about a hearing. So in the state of Wisconsin, constitutionally, when we pass a new law, when a bill is just an idea, someone has an idea and they want it to become the law of the land, that idea is written into proposed legislation called a bill, and that bill has to have a hearing in both houses, the House of Representatives, called the Assembly, and the Senate. And when that has that public hearing, that is literally the time that you can show up and write your name on a card, and you can write your name on that card in that hearing room and say, I'm for it, I support it, and you don't have to say a word.
Oh, that's
and that's
nice.
Going to be submitted to the clerk, and the members of that committee will know Danielle Fairman was here and she agrees with this idea or she disagrees with it. But that's also your time to give your input. Hmm. And in a public hearing, everybody who shows up will be heard. So if you have an opinion, and I guess something that frustrates me is we're all hunters and fishermen, and we're all outdoor users in the state of Wisconsin. Who are the first people who complain when something doesn't go their way? Hunters and fishermen are the first people to bitch and moan when a rule changes that affects how they are able to go in the field. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't mean to burst anyone's bubble. All those decisions made in Madison, and there are a ton of them. We have an entire bureaucratic administrative department called the Department of Natural Resources that messes with everything we do while we're out there. And everything they do affects us, and we're the first ones to say, I don't want to be part of the process to change it. And I don't think that's a great idea.
No.
Because so when we come back, we're going to first.
The Devil's Advocates.
The plaintiff, Donald J. Trump, hereby serves his suit against the defendants, Hillary Clinton and her cohorts, orchestrated an unthinkable plot, one that shocks the conscience and is an affront to the nation's democracy. This week on Fox.
You know what I mean?
Like you're throwing a few too many adverbs and adjectives in this sentence.
One man, one mission Donald Trump gets made fun of. This is Watergate 2.
Making radio great again.
Go by any construction site in Wisconsin, you're going to see a lot of Michael's trucks. Since 2014, they've had more than $1 billion worth of contracts with the state government.
A large part of those coming with Foxconn without any results in that area.
Do we want a governor who might be giving his brothers the contract? I think he needs to answer that before the election.
We'll just kick that one down the road. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But of course, Michael's corporation would get to build that said bridge.
Listen, Monday through Friday from 2 to 3, it's Dueling Tangents.
Life had a remote control. You could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the 1-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Weather brought to you by you and your great business. For just $150 a week, this sponsorship is designed to make your phones ring.
But the offer absolutely ends March 15th. Log on civicmedia.us/weather. civicmedia.us/weather.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 45. Winds out of the west, 20 to 25 miles per hour. Lows level off around 23 tonight. Overcast skies. Overcast again tomorrow. Snow likely. Highs level off around 26. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 38.
A fresh approach to finding common ground in the Fox Valley. Civic Media.
Welcome back to Raised in the Shaw. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, sitting next to Danielle Fairman, Raised in the Shaw. I called it our old show, Danielle. It used to be Raised in the Shaw. Raised in the Wisco now because we are live throughout the state of Wisconsin, which is very exciting. It's going awesome. Danielle's doing social media while we're
here. And I definitely got caught. I caught you saying that.
Anastasia, I can't hear myself in my headphones. There we go.
Hello.
All right. So, Raised in Wisco is awfully lucky this week. We've got Senator Rob Stafshult. He is the chair of the Natural Resources Committee in the Senate. And we went into the break talking about the budget coming out and a very important issue to me, and that is getting sportsmen and women involved. And when I say involved, I am not asking you to travel to Madison all the time and testify at hearings. I'm saying what is done in that Capitol dome, and I'm going to tell you, with the exception of people like Senator Stafshult and a few others, that is a very sterile environment for the outdoors.
Oh, for sure.
Well, you said, oh, for sure. What do you mean by that?
Well, you and I were talking about that last time, and offline, you and I counted less than two hands of people who actively hunt on a regular basis. There's 132 legislators in that building, and I don't know if I can get to 10 that I know are active sportsmen that represent the state of Wisconsin. And if you think about geographically where those people come from, now there's a lot of folks that don't do that that are surely supportive of our sport and our things that are matter to us, but people who actually eat, sleep, and breathe and live it, that's not everybody there.
No, that's not many at all. So when I tell you people are that sterile, that building's that sterile, they are not familiar with what we're doing in the waters and woods, and it is up to us and no one else to tell them, because the worst thing that can possibly happen is that they make those decisions uninformed and they make those decisions based on just what the bureaucrats or the Department of Natural Resources says to do. Now, don't get me wrong. The Department of Natural Resources says fantastic people working for it. There are great ideas and public trust issues that they deal with that are fantastic also. But you never want a government entity telling legislators or legislating or making the laws that govern the people who utilize the resources who are not part of the process. It is up to you to get involved in the process. Stephen from Green Bay is on the line. Let's see what Stephen has to say. Welcome, Stephen, to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle. You are on the air.
Hello, guys.
This is actually my first time hearing your show. I am listening on WGBW in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Well, that's awesome. And we are really jacked to be on the air around the state. And we are going to make a difference because this show talks very real about the outdoors, hunting, fishing, and the rights we are trying to make sure continue into the decades for our kids and their kids. So welcome for being the first caller from WGB in Green Bay, Stephen.
Yeah. And I caught your conversation about, you know, people, you know, when they think of politics, they don't necessarily think of the outdoors. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm one of those people as well. Like, I sit and I call into the show rather frequently, actually, and I talk about, you know, the fake elector scheme in the state of Wisconsin and Donald Trump's this. But never once am I like, well, what are we doing with our natural resources? And that's like one of the greatest assets we have in the state. Is our woods and our state parks and our lakes and streams. It's one of the things that makes Wisconsin, Wisconsin.
You hit and that on the head.
100%.
I used to be a hunter. This was back when you actually had to buy tags, if that tells you how long ago that was. And one of the things that actually drove me away from hunting was the whole earn a buck thing. Because I would take out tags and sit in a deer stand and at the end of it, not see anything and throw my tags, which you had to spend money on at the time, in the garbage. And so what DNR does, and with the state legislatures in our capital in Wisconsin, it makes a difference in what we're allowed to do in our own state. And the woods and the lakes and the streams, we're all residents, we're all taxpayers, we're all paying for this stuff. It's ours. And absolutely. It's important that our values are carried out when these things are being governed. So,
boy, I'm going to tell you, Stephen, and I want to point out to our listeners out there, Stephen was not a plant, okay? But he was just about the quintessentially perfect caller to have first on the show.
I'm happy I'm not the only one that feels that way about the outdoors and politics.
And, Stephen, I have two major points you made. First of all, get back out there. And put venison on the table for your family. Get back into hunting again. I think some very great things have been done with deer management throughout the state of Wisconsin, and there are many more there's much more availability to hunt deer now. We don't really have the earn a buck anywhere. You can shoot does now and put that on the table. But the points that you made are so true, and one of the goals of this show is not only to educate, but to invigorate, to get people who utilize Wisconsin's outdoors excited enough about it. So I want to challenge you today, Stephen, to get out there because now you can buy, and we worked on this in the legislature. The legislature, people like Senator Mary Felskowski, Senator Staffschult, Romaine Quinn, Paul Tittle, those are names of people who literally made it easier to get into the outdoors of Wisconsin and reduce some of the regulation. You can get your tags online now. You don't have to have paper tags attached to your deer anymore that are going to fall off in the rain. You don't need to wear something, a bright green patch on your back if you're archery hunting deer anymore. You can utilize Wisconsin's online resources to get out there in a much easier way than it was before. So, Stephen, I'm hoping that you are going to get out there. And I think what a great Senator Staffschult, what a great call that was. And not only did he admit he struggles with utilizing the outdoors, but he also struggles with being part of the process. And I think that we would hear that from 7 out of 10 outdoors people in Wisconsin.
Oh, for sure. And I'm going to urge Danielle to do the same thing. But, you know, it's fantastic if you come to a committee and you're in a hearing, and I want to elaborate on that. A committee is divided up by a subject matter, so it's not like you're going to come to a committee and sit through tax law and then you're going to sit through education stuff. And if you come to speak about outdoor stuff, that's what the committee is. So those are great, and we love having people come to those. But
we gotta go to break.
From Oshkosh to Green Bay and points north, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said the federal government is not going to bail out Silicon Valley Bank, but told CBS News the government is working to help depositors who are worried about their money in the failed bank. The concerns for people with more than the federally insured $250,000 in the bank. Senate Banking Committee member Mark Warner told ABC's This Week the ideal scenario is for a buyer for the bank to emerge before markets open in Asia later today, but overall...
Do you end up seeing a lot of small and mid-sized banks, which are the heart of the banking system all across the country, people suddenly saying, well, gosh, I've got more than $250,000 in this bank. I want to take my money out and just put it in a J.P. Morgan or a Citibank. What we don't want to see is further consolidation.
More than 15 million people are under flood alerts in California and Nevada. Heavy flooding in Monterey County, California, after a levee breached, and at least 8 people died overnight in San Diego when 2 fishing boats trying to dock illegally capsized. This is ABC News.
March 15th.
What's March 15th?
March 15th is the absolute final day to take advantage of up to 50% off on our Civic Media premium weather sponsorships. First, we spread your business message and phone number to our listeners. Then we spread Mother Nature's plans for the next 36 hours. You'll get a 15-second ad every hour followed by your phone number. Don't wait. March 15th is almost here. Log on to civicmedia.us/weather now. That's civicmedia.us/weather.
The devil's advocates, because freedom.
But Dom, we've been following a couple of big stories this week. Truck convoy leader has no idea where he is and is driving in circles around I-495. He didn't know precisely where he was going anyways or where he was at the time. Apparently, he put the convoy back on the road, headed back up north, and he's back in Scranton. So
I totally would have protested this tyranny, but damn, the traffic was so bad.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
Earl Ingram.
Mandela Barnes.
Yeah, the stories that I talked about, the stories I share, my own personal experience was not much different from the experience from a lot of other people across the state. People generally want to be able to, you know, exist together in harmony.
Working hard every day to inform, enlighten, and bring our community together. The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings 8 to 11 on Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Welcome back to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman. Man, I'm always blown away how fast the show goes. We got a snowstorm going on outside. It's actually quite beautiful, to be honest. It's collecting on the trees. Be careful out on the roadways. Jane Mantner was giving the maple syrup story, and I've got a buddy of mine, John Cranford and Melissa Adeline. Oh, you know them, Danielle. They're friends of ours.
Absolutely, I do.
He's like this super creative dude who makes all this stuff and welds it all together. And he put together this turbo, like, boiler for sap. And it's 40 gallons of sap. You got to get 40 gallons for 1 gallon of maple syrup. Yep. And I guess you can boil it as fast, as hot as you can get it. The faster you can boil it and evaporate the water out of it, you'll get to maple syrup. He made this like turbo boiler, and he keeps sending me Snapchats on it, and the thing's like a raging inferno. It looks it looks like a transformer from the movie. I don't know, but I just hope I get like a little quart out of it
that
after they're done.
That sounds delicious. And their salsa. I love when they
make their sauce is very good. Their hot sauce is very good, too. Senator Rob Stachel has joined us for the show, and we didn't even really touch on anything last week. And here we are halfway through this show, and I feel like we've got a mountain of stuff to still cover. But when we were going into the break, we were talking about participating in the process, and there's a million different ways to do it. And you were breaking down the committee, how committees work. But I think you were going to continue talking about how to be part of it without necessarily having to be in the inner workings.
Yeah, and Danielle and I were talking offline that, you know, she's got a job that they like it if she shows up. So coming to Madison, to the Capitol, to come sit in a room and testify is not something you can do every day.
Especially if you're a working person.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And so one of the things I will tell those of you out there listening is if you have an issue that matters if you have something that you say, I don't know why they do it that way, they should do it this way, look it up online. You can figure out who your state representative, who your state senator is. Whoever represents you, and you can email, you can call their office, you can do all those things, and I will tell you that those actually matter. Because if Danielle's state representative and state senator hear from her and she says, this is important to me, here's why, and I think you should do it this other way, or please don't vote for that because it's going to negatively affect me this way, those interactions matter a ton to us. We do get some form letters where an association or a group will put out to all their members and say, please contact Senator Stachel, and they sign, and they're a form letter, and those matter too, but I don't read them as closely, obviously, because they're all the same,
right?
As something from Danielle saying, this matters to me, and this is my personal story.
So how do we know what you guys are talking about?
So
do we know what's going to be happening?
Well, first of all, that's a great question. I'm going to let you answer that because you're still an elected person. But what I'm going to say to you is, everything we do in the outdoors is being contemplated in Madison in some form or fashion all the time.
I feel like that's a lot of stuff.
All the time. Am I wrong?
You're absolutely right. And I'm going to say two things. One, there are avenues in Madison, and we can get you contacts for those to sign up to get regular information coming out of Madison, what people are working on. But it's going to be not issue specific. It's going to be everything. And you can do that. But I will also say that in Wisconsin, we're pretty blessed to have some great groups. You know, you got the Waterfowl Association, you've got the Bear Hunters Association, you've got the Deer Hunters of Wisconsin, stuff like all of these different groups are really issue pointed for their members. And they watch, they have somebody that watches that for their members and watches out for their best interest. And if something comes up that might negatively impact them or an opportunity to positively affect them, if you have a membership in one of those groups, they watch out for their members pretty close and pay attention. And they send out email blasts. They send out correspondence back and forth so that you kind of get in the loop on that. And that's a great thing. The other thing I'm going to say is it's not just on the front end for changes. You know, we have enforcement issues and we have a legal system and a justice system. And it's equally important to know your rights and how the court system is going to interact with the things that we do in the legislature. Kind of the second phase is how those laws are interpreted and how they are placed out on the landscape.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, when things are challenged, I'm going to give you an example of that right now. Right now, the DNR, much to their credit, a lot of people say, oh Joel, you bag on the DNR. I think there are many, many people who work for the DNR and many wardens who are out in the fields and waters and woods who have a real tough job, and I have a very high level of respect for them. I really do. But there are people who are doing the right thing and the wrong thing in every profession, and there are people who are doing the right thing and the wrong thing in the woods, and there are wardens who are doing – some wardens are doing the right thing and some are maybe not doing the right thing. But for the very largest part, the DNR and the warden force out there are fantastic people, and they have some of the toughest jobs in law enforcement that exist, because when they are approaching hunters in a field, imagine if your job as a police police officer, and they are sworn peace officers, is to know that everyone you approach is going to have a loaded firearm on them. That's yeah. a sticky wicket.
Right.
And
that's terrifying. I could not do that. And I've only encountered a warden three times, maybe, but it was just because they were just there and just making sure I was up.
They were in an area where hunters were, yeah. and they're just kind of checking out, making sure everybody's safe and, yeah. and everything like that.
And I think you'll agree, Joel, they have a role to fill. There's a reason why we have the wardens on landscape. Ooh, I have a really good friend of mine up north last weekend. He called me this morning to tell me a story. He actually received, a friend of mine, Brad, received a ticket for not having a fishing license. 100% thought he had the fishing license with our new electronic system. He did not. And actually praised the warden for such a great interaction. Still got the ticket. But was respectful, and he said, you know, the guy had a job to do, and I was in the wrong, and I didn't think I was, but I was, and Brad gave him some pretty good accolades. So those stories are out there, too, and again, mm-hmm. those aren't always the ones you hear about.
No, they're not. They're subjected to the same criticism that, and believe me, you're in politics. You get it more than most. You slip on a banana peel, and everybody sees it. It's the next big, you know, viral video on social media. And one of the things, so kind of back to what we were talking about, how the laws are one thing, but how the laws are interpreted is quite something else. Right now, the DNR decided that rifles are okay statewide to use, centerfire rifles in deer hunting, in the hunting of big game in Wisconsin. Yep. Something I completely agree with, and I'm going to tell you why real quick. When a shotgun slug is shot, that shotgun slug has a tendency or the ability to bounce around, hit a tree and bounce off, and still have quite a bit of velocity when it does. Rifle shells or a bullet is going to hit a tree, mushroom out, and be stuck in that tree or stuck, mushroomed out and ineffective past whatever it hits. Mm-hmm. So the DNR decided it's probably safer, and they've got the science to back it up, to shoot rifles at big game in Wisconsin. Well, there are still many counties in the state of Wisconsin that do not allow or forbid rifles. Shotgun-only zones. Waukesha County is a shotgun-only zone. So that you're allowed to shoot a shotgun slug, but not a rifle. Well, that is something that if it's ever challenged is going to have to be decided in the courts. And at some point, the DNR, it won't be the DNR because the DNR warden is not going to give someone a citation for using a rifle in Waukesha County. It would have to be a Waukesha County sheriff's deputy or municipal police officer. And when they say, wait a minute, the DNR said it's okay statewide, that's going to end up in court because Waukesha County says you must use a slug or a shotgun. And I think a second level to this that I'm certain most people don't even think about, because it is a second layer, is that when that goes to court, it's judges who are elected who determine that. And if that bounces up to the Supreme Court, then the Supreme Court of the state of Wisconsin will make a decision that will be the final decision, because I really don't see the U.S. Supreme Court taking up the case of whether slugs or bullets are able to be used in Waukesha County. I mean, who knows? They could.
Right.
They've taken up stranger things. But that brings me to the thought that of how important the elections actually are. You know, we've got a spring race coming up for Supreme Court justice. There's one spot to fill on Supreme Court. Justice Patience Rogensack is retiring. And there are, whoever is elected to that new Supreme Court will have a large decision-making authority on events that affect people in the outdoors.
Yeah, I can't agree more. And I think, you know, trying not to take a partisan line in this particular show, because you have listeners from all walks, I'm sure. But if you are someone who values the Second Amendment, the concealed carry law that we have here in the state of Wisconsin, you know, that's going to, depending on how the court goes, that's very likely to get challenged up to the state Supreme Court level, and they're going to decide. So this election, and I'm a politician, and everybody knows every politician thinks the current election is the most important one we ever had.
You do hear that a lot.
Yeah, but I'm going to tell you that this spring Supreme Court election has vastly, vastly widespreading impacts on the way everybody runs their lives, sportsmen's issues, gun right issues, the way that we use our natural resources, what we're allowed to do, what we're not allowed to do, this actually is a humongous election. And if you're a sportsman, I'm just telling you, you might want to read up on that and become involved and state your piece through your vote in April.
And that goes back to what we were talking about a little earlier, and part of the disappointment I have and the frustration that as a group, sportsmen are very low percentage voters. And yeah. I really can't think of a group of people that is more directly affected by what the legislature and the governor and the Supreme Court and the administrations do than people who utilize the outdoors of Wisconsin. You know, I say it, you hear me say it, we're surrounded by Great Lakes, two Great Lakes and the Mississippi River. We have more inland lakes per square mile than any other state in the country. And we've got beautiful topographic areas all the way from the Pots and Kettles of the Moraines in Kettle Moraine and Lake Country out to the Bluffs in La Crosse along the Mississippi River. There is no better state in the country for the outdoors than Wisconsin. Oh, yeah. We are the heart of the outdoors here in Wisconsin, and the beauty of it is we're a hidden treasure. Now, don't get me wrong. I know some of those Illinoisans sneak up here once in a while, use the campgrounds and hunt and fish with us. But you know what? And you know what? We actually welcome them. We welcome people from other states because we do want to share what we have here. But at the end of the day, we are most affected by the laws that govern the state of Wisconsin. More than any other single group, we are more directly affected, and we participate in the process the least. And Senator Stachel, I can't figure that out.
So you were talking how I asked about how do I know what's being talked, what's the issue at hand, and you were talking about the associations and everything. That what if people are not involved in the associations? What if there's Steven that they got out of it and they want to get back into it, like? Can I go on the DNR website and be like, okay, well, you're talking about this? Or, like, I belong to a waterfowl association, but that's pretty much about it. And I get emails, but it's mostly like emails about
bait. What did you just say? You belong to the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association.
Yes.
So do I. That, Danielle, without even knowing it, you are more of a part of the process than someone who doesn't belong to an organization that looks out for the rights of waterfowl hunters.
That's right. Nice. I don't know that the DNR has that on their website. It's a good question whether or not they have like associations. But I would say in today's technology, and you are probably far more advanced on that than Joel and I, but one Google search for Wisconsin, whatever, if you want to be a whitetail hunter or if you're a bow hunter or trout fisherman, one Google search, Wisconsin trout fishing, and you're going to find an association that covers that.
Oh, yeah. You can find associations with anything.
Yep.
You know, like, I didn't even know there was one for bear until you guys brought it up last week.
Yep.
Yeah, we had Dan Trawicki on last week. You know, Safari Club International is very involved. Whitetails of Wisconsin, Wisconsin Game Preserve Association,
I just joined
Wisconsin Waterfowl Association.
Yeah, Turkey Federation.
Turkey
awesome.
Federation.
WTF, dude.
I know, the NWTF. And we got 30 seconds until we're out. So we're coming back. We've got one segment left. We're going to wrap things up and talk about how to get into hunting and fishing if you've been gone for a while, because we want you back. We need you back.
Come back, please.
To be part of the process. You're listening to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Daniel Fairman on 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays. the city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they are not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Crute.
I love this song.
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Weather on this snowy, snowy day could be brought to us by your business. Can you imagine how many ice augers and fishing shanties are being bought as we speak? Weather sponsorships make the phone ring. Call us at 608-819-8255.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 45. Winds out of the west, 20 to 25 miles per hour. Lows level off around 23. Tonight, overcast skies. Overcast again tomorrow. Snow likely. Highs level off around 26. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 38.
If Friday nights mean fish fries, we're your station. Civic Media for the Fox River Valley.
West Virginia. I want to sing so bad, but I don't want to scare away our new listeners.
I have heard you sing, Danielle, so we're gonna just encourage you to talk rather than sing. Welcome back to Raised in Wisco, the last quarter of the show that's flying by. You can give us a call at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. This is Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman with our guest today, State Senator Rob Stafschult, who's from New Richmond. And I want to point out that almost everybody who's from there says New Richmond. Like it's Richmond. Like N-R-I-C-H-M-O-N-D, Richmond.
That's where all the cool kids are from, Joel. They know how to say it.
How about that?
I guess that's kind of like half the people from Milwaukee say Milwaukee.
I guess people from Waukesha say the Shaw.
No, people from Waukesha say Waukesha. Mm-hmm. People outside of Waukesha say Waukesha.
Waukesha.
Waukesha. We've covered some absolutely fantastic topics so far on tonight's show because... if we are really going to be a show that's about the outdoors and promoting the conservation of the state of Wisconsin, the great natural resources we have, taking food from the field or the waterways to the table, feeding your family with it, and all the great things that come from that, we need to get into some of the nitty-gritty details about how to become part of the solution to problems, part of the proliferation of our sport, part of the encouragement of new hunters and fishermen, because something that we talked about last night, we did a podcast for the Fowl Life Midwest series with Danielle and two other women who are avid hunters, very involved. And, you know, and of course, this is International Women's Month this month. So shout out to the fastest growing group of new hunters, women, who are they're playing a major role in the development of hunting and fishing. And something that's heartbreaking to me is that we're losing hunters still.
It's like Steven.
We are losing hunters. And I need to know, I want to ask Senator Stafschult, why are we continuing to lose hunters?
You know, that's something that we look at in the Capitol, and we have been for a long time. I think one of the things is in this society and with the technology we have is people are just super busy. And yes. I think it takes a little more commitment to get the equipment ready, get the vehicle ready, go out to a field, whether that's 80 miles from your house or 8 miles from your house. It takes some effort. And in today's society, our kids are super busy. Our lives are just busy. And it just becomes, it's something that we compete for our time with. And I think it's tough.
I think you're right. But I think we also need to blame social media. Right. I think people are so determined. And, you know, Danielle, you're a millennial, right?
Yes.
Are you a millennial or are you
Gen
Z?
by like
why do you say 60. Unfortunately?
Because millennials have such a negative outlook that they don't do anything, that they're crybabies, really, that they don't.
I'm going to let like, you say that about your generation because I'm not going to.
I hate saying that because I always correct people. I say I'm an early millennial where it's like from the Gen Z to like baby boomers and all that kind of stuff. Like we're in the middle. We love social media. I love taking pictures. I love hanging out with people. But I also like my time alone and I like hardworking and I take care of my stuff. Like I don't rely on people. It's just, I know it's such an issue, like a
It's such
topic.
A tough question because there are so many things, but I'm going to tell you that kid, what we have done is taken children from the very time they can hold a phone in their hand. Mm-hmm. 10 years ago, I can tell you 15 years ago, I never imagined that people would be glued to a 3x7-inch screen in front of their face. They're crossing the street staring at their phone. Uh-huh. They're walking through the mall staring at their phone. They're sitting in church staring at their phone. They're going to dinner with their parents, and every kid and every parent is sitting on their phone instead of talking across the table.
Yes, the phone
and 100%. What happens when you get those little adrenaline bursts that your brain does from the little satisfying swiping you're doing, it takes away your very desire and drive to get outside and experience life in three dimensions. And that is heartbreaking to me. Mm-hmm. That is killing me. And so often, you know, my daughter Violet hunts with me from time to time. I have to literally go over to her, gently take the phone out of her hand, place it down, and say, put your coveralls on. We're going to experience life in three dimensions. And never, for those of you who are afraid to take a child out into the outdoors, and you don't have to go hunting. You know, God knows you'd never catch me in a kayak.
Oh, no.
Well, I'd flip over and die. I know it. They don't make the hole big enough.
Self-assessment is key.
That's right. Self-awareness is key. Take those children out. And I say children, 100%. But in the reality of it is, I hunt with brand new hunters who are 35 years old, who are 40 years old, 50 years old. Sure. Get the person away from the social media, out into the outdoors, dress them warm, because the very worst thing about taking somebody outside is having them be cold.
Miserable.
Too cold or too hot, that's miserable. Mm-hmm. But take them into the outdoors, because there's not a single person I've taken on a hunt. Not one. I'm sure one's coming at some point. But I have never taken somebody into the outdoors on a hunt who has not fallen in love with it and wanted to do it again.
100% time. And bring it back to social media, why we were talking and I gasped so loudly.
She was on her phone
like a millennial.
Yeah. But I want to get into the outdoor politics, but all politics. But
Senator, you lit a fire tonight. Danielle is already looking for groups to sign up for.
So I went on to Wisconsin Wildlife Association, right? I went right to their wisducks.org, right to their website. I'm like, okay, I believe you, but I didn't believe you that.
Well, he's a politician. You can't trust him.
Yeah. Self-assessment is key.
Is it really that easy for me to understand what is going on in the Capitol? Like what's all happening? I'm scrolling. All of a sudden, legislation and regulations. Yep. I'm like, oh.
It's right there.
It's right there in red. I'm like, oh, how about that? And it pulls it right up and current issues, community positions, the stamp, and participate in a survey.
Boom.
Look at that. It is actually that easy.
And that is what's going to end up in your legislature. You're going to end up becoming a part of it, having knowledge about it. And real quick, the show's about to end, you guys. That's how fast it goes. But not all of those groups. It's kind of like fighting in a family at Thanksgiving. Not all those groups in the outdoors get along with each other.
For sure.
And
not everybody gets along with
that's
everybody.
Okay. And they all make it easy enough to take a look at what they represent, what they stand for, and understanding what these organizations stand for and becoming a part of it. In addition, it's real. You're not going to play a video game on the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association. You're going to learn how to become a better shot, a wing shooter. Get out there and do it. That's what Raised in Wisco is about, making you a better member of the outdoors, enjoying Wisconsin for its natural resources. For Danielle Fairman, I'm Joel Clayfish. This is Raised in Wisco. We'll see you next week.
The Ides of March, the day that Caesar was killed, and it's the final day for you to make a killer deal.
March 15th.
That's right, March 15th is your last day to take advantage of our biggest sale. We're slashing prices on our premium sponsorships up to 50%.
Tie your business message and phone number into our hourly weather forecasts and get results.
But you must hurry.
This spectacular offer ends March 15th. Log on to civicmedia.us/weather now. That's civicmedia.us/weather.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
The Republican Party on a national level, how many years did they investigate Hillary and Bill? They're still going to that.
They're still looking for her emails, right? But they don't look in the Trump septic tank for half the top secret classified documents that he was flushing during his term. When one party doesn't care about governing, just don't allow anything to happen when the Democrats are in charge.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming.